If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shiny balls, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautifully adorned table for the meal, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another cook. If I work at the soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all I have to charity, but do not show love to my family, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties and sing in the choir's cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I have totally missed the point. Love stops the cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the husband. Love is kind, though harried and tired. Love doesn't envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love doesn't yell at the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful they are there to be in the way. Love doesn't give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who can't. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Video games will break, pearl necklaces will be lost, golf clubs will rust, but giving the gift of love will endure.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, in the light of the real Christmas story. Thank you, dear, for sharing that. Now, if you're anything like me, I notice that sometimes Christmas seems to come a little sooner than usual. You know how it is? Right after Halloween, it tends to be. You hear all about those good deals for Christmas. You begin to see all those decorations for Christmas. And maybe if you're anything like me, you may say and exclaim, "My, that's just a little too soon. That's just a little too soon to start Christmas." Well, today I thought it would be helpful and encouraging and fitting that my thoughts today, December the 6th, early Christmas message. And I can imagine maybe some of you may say, "Well, Pastor, that's just a little too early, just a little too early." But after you hear the message today, I trust you'll see that it has its place. I want us to focus our attention on a special woman. And this special woman of Christmas is Mary. Mary was chosen of the Lord for a very special mission by God Himself. And the story is recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And so if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke, the first chapter. And we're going to take a look at the early part of the Christmas story. Often we think of the Christmas story further on, but we're going to look at a part of the Christmas story that we don't often look at today. Luke, the first chapter, and we're going to look at verses 28 through 38. Enter with me as I read my Bible, starting right now. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this is. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.' Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And then Mary said, Behold, the maid servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 1. We're going to go back there again. But I want you to enter into the story. I want you to try to put yourself in Mary's place. Now, mothers, those of you that have children, you can relate to Mary a little better than us as men. But the principle that I share here today will be applicable for all of us. Talking about an incredible revelation. Indeed, it was, wasn't it? And early, I think that Mary must have thought, she must have begun to think and realize that what she was about to do, what she was told by the angel, had great potential. It had great potential for good, and it had tremendous potential for harm as well. The birth of a baby, potential for harm. How can you say that, Pastor Ken? Well, listen carefully. First of all, in her culture, unlike our culture, unplanned pregnancies were not exactly tolerated. And besides that, what is Joseph going to say? Joseph is very kind. Yes, we see that evidence in the scripture, but will he believe her story? And besides that, how long is it going to take that maybe the sign of pregnancy is going to show? How long is it going to happen? This is going to be the talk of the town. And then what? As you can imagine, there are a lot of things going through her mind. All kinds of questions going through her mind at this point. And generally, those who have had an encounter with an angel, with one of God's angels, usually the angels do not stay there very long. They don't answer all the questions, do they? They deliver God's message, and then they leave it up to you and me to take care of the rest. And if you're a believer, like Mary was, you're going to do a lot of praying for God's directions and for courage. And indeed, she did do a lot of praying for courage and directions. And add to that, I need to talk to someone. I need to talk to a human being. Is there anybody I can talk to? Now, for Mary, this was indeed a God thing. Wouldn't you agree? A miracle of all miracles to become the mother of the divine Son of God, the promised Messiah. Awesome. Awesome indeed. And so, who is Mary going to talk with? And better yet, who will listen to the story and who will believe the story? This story of all stories. Now, did you notice in the Bible, we actually read it, there was a hint given to Mary by the angel as to who it might be a good idea to talk with. Let's look at it again. Did you keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 1? Notice it here, verse 36. The angel telling Mary, Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Now, I would like to suggest that the angel made that statement to give her a hint that that would be one that she could talk with. And so enter into Mary's thinking at this moment. The angel mentioned Elizabeth. Yes, I can talk to her. Now, Elizabeth was not only her relative, but Elizabeth was also very devoted to God, very devoted believer. And add to that, according to the Bible, and in Luke chapter 1, verse 36, Elizabeth was experiencing a miracle herself, having a baby in her old age. And not only any baby, but the baby would be called John the Baptist. Well, look now with me at verse 39. Verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with what? What's the word? With haste to the city of Judah. Now that word haste, what is a picture that you get when you think of that word haste? You get the idea, the picture that she jumps on the donkey and runs as fast as she possibly can to get to Elizabeth's house? Well, in the original language, that's not the real meaning. It's not so much she kicked that donkey and really got it going fast, but it was the fact that inside her heart, she wanted to meet and talk with Elizabeth. Donkeys don't go too fast, but she got there. You see, Mary had just become the recipient of one of the greatest secrets of time and eternity. And Mary must have had an intense desire, indeed she did, to talk this matter over with someone who would listen, someone who would understand. And so, in haste, she goes to Elizabeth's home. Now, Elizabeth's home was not exactly down the street and around the corner. No, no. It was, well, from where she was to this area of Judah, it was some 80 miles away. That would not be an easy travel. But she had little choice. She wanted to talk with Elizabeth. Mary had to find a place where she could work through what was happening here, where she could slow down the racing that was going on in her mind and somehow find peace during this sudden confusion. Now, I'd say that she did the right thing. So enter into the story as we continue on, verses 39 through 45. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that you, the mother of my Lord, should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And so almost immediately, isn't this remarkable? Almost immediately, there was a confirmation from Elizabeth speaking to Mary that this was of God. Isn't that encouraging? That was really encouraging. Now, did that resolve the whole issue for Mary? No, it didn't. Life isn't that way, isn't it? Not all the questions are answered. It isn't all cut and dry. But it was an exciting conversation. I would have loved to heard what those two women must have talked about during those times that they were together. And I'm sure that Mary's thinking became more and more clear as to what God was doing and what her role was and what she must do, and she must play the role properly. And I wonder, did everything come together for Mary just overnight, just from that first time, that first encounter? Did it just all come together? No, not necessarily. Not overnight. In fact, look at verse 56. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about how long? 3 months, and then returned home. 3 months with Elizabeth. Now, see, she still would not be showing all that much, and so as she came and made her way into the town of Galilee, it would be a little easier. But what a great story. What a great story. Even before the Christmas story of Mary and Joseph and the trip to Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus, even before the shepherds of the field and the angel choir and no room in the inn and the wise men with their gifts, even before we see this, we see what? Mary is slowing down and she's evaluating what is happening. So what does this particular part of the Christmas story have to do with you and me? A lot. And I want to encourage you to listen. The sermon's not over yet. What we have here, friends, is a picture of Mary knowing ahead of time that there's a chaotic days ahead and that there's potential for good, and there's also potential for bad. And so what does she do? She takes the time to slow down and to evaluate the actions and to make sure that this special time that is coming is going to be the best it possibly can. Now, yes, I think by now that many of you know why this particular part of the Christmas story, friends, is applicable to you and me. Our timeline is a little different from Mary's timeline. We have maybe, 18 days until Christmas and counting. And that's not nearly as long as Mary's 9 months of pregnancy. And our issues are nothing like hers. Hers were much more complicated than our issues. But the spiritual lesson, friends, the spiritual lesson is ours to apply. It's up to you and it's up to me. We just want to make sure that Christmas doesn't come and go without our experiencing the real meaning of what the season really is all about. Really, if this story presented by Luke is a true story, and I believe it is, and I trust you do as well, and that God Himself is coming here in the person of Jesus Christ, in the form of a little baby, and if there was an angel who made this announcement, and the Holy Spirit is promised that He will plant the seed in the womb of this young Jewish woman, my friends, without doubt, this is an awesome story. This is a great story, incredible event in history. It ought to be told. It ought to be celebrated. It ought to be talked about. But I'm afraid that if we don't slow down and evaluate long enough, it possibly we will celebrate Christmas like we maybe celebrated Christmas last year. So let's get practical. Let's get practical. Let's get enter into your home. Let's enter into your life. What do you like best about past Christmases that you have celebrated? And what do you like least? What can we, as it were, maximize for the good and minimize for the bad? If there was some things that you could eliminate this year, unlike what you've done in the past, that you would do differently this time. And why? And what could it be? Maybe some of us need to be a little bit more creative with the money that we use for Christmas. We were driving home after Thanksgiving, and I heard something on the radio, and I said, oh, please, dear, write that down. Write that down. Some of us need to change our attitude when it comes to our finances for Christmas. So that maybe it wouldn't hurt to maybe have a little bit of plastic surgery with our credit card. That attitude that could be adjusted, something like this. Oh, I love you so much, I'll buy you what you want, and I'll be in debt for all next year. we need to adjust that a bit, don't we? Some of our families have grown, and praise the Lord, some of our families have new little children, and that's wonderful. Do we need to reduce maybe the number of gifts that we've given in the past, this present Christmas? I know of one family. They entered into a new tradition, and they followed it for some time after. For several years, instead of giving gifts to this large family of people, they drew names, and the name that they got, they would write on a piece of paper what they appreciated about that person, about him or her. And it became part of the Christmas celebration, and they would read those letters, and it became such a meaningful time to hear what others think of you in their appreciation and their love. A beautiful Christmas gift, more beautiful than maybe some material thing, to hear how you are loved and appreciated. Another idea that brings families together is to, during the Christmas season, to sit down, maybe during the time of the supper table or during around the time of the Christmas tree, to think and to dwell and to share stories of Christmas past. Stories of Christmas past. What was Christmas in the past? What really meant a lot to you about some of the Christmases of the past? I would love to hear some of the stories that you remember as a child, memories, Christmases past. And then I want you to turn with me to a very important nugget of truth, Matthew, the 25th chapter, Matthew chapter 25. Now, of course, as I looked out in your faces today and we began to remember about Christmas season and all, some of you reminded me by what your mannerisms on your face. Pastor, Christmas is not all those things. Christmas is Jesus' birthday. And I got your message. I got the body language, and I believe that too. Let's not forget that it's Jesus' birthday. And by the way, I do not agree, and I think you would agree with me, that it's not December 25. That's not when he was born. But that's when we do remember it. If we were to actually identify a time when Jesus was born, the more evidence leans more towards the area of September, October, when Jesus was really born. We'll need to talk about that sometime. But I'd like to share with you a nugget of truth of how to give a gift to Jesus. And the question comes like this. I want you to ponder about this. What would happen if on December 25, you and I gave Jesus a gift from his wish list in Matthew 25? Here's his wish list. Have you ever noticed it? What Jesus' wish list is? Matthew, the 25th chapter, starting with verse 35. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You see, Matthew chapter 25 is Jesus' wish list for December 25 and throughout the given year. Throughout the given year. Now, what would your Christmas be like if you invited to your home a person or a family who was having a rough time financially, for example, during the Christmas season, and you invited them to your home for Christmas dinner? What would your Christmas be like? Is there someone in this church family who, someone you know that is too poor, that they cannot afford to have and buy some clothing? And what would your Christmas be like if you invited that person to come with you and you helped them, you bought for them some nice clothing for the Christmas season? What would your Christmas be like if you and your family visited the VA hospital or maybe the shut-ins, and you went to their homes and you brought maybe a little gift, in fact, maybe even some of Mike's good bread, and you sing Christmas carols to them? What would your Christmas be like this Christmas if you followed Jesus' wish list? Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Here's something else worth considering. Can you maybe simplify some of your decorations for Christmas that cost so much to put up and take so much time to do? Could maybe others share in the food preparation? In other words, how could you and myself cut back so that we won't be so tired that we won't be able to enjoy the people that we love so much? That's what we're talking about here. These are some of the questions that I'm wondering about, and I want to encourage you to get some answers early in this month of December. But most of all, friends, most of all, the question is this: how will we mark the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ? in all of our celebration that we do, what will you give him from your heart that you can say, when Christmas comes, I hope he likes my present to him. I put a lot of thought into it. I wonder, do God's desires for his people match how America celebrates Christmas? Well, probably not. But I have to admit that as Christmas season comes, there tends to be among many Americans a festivity of giving and sharing unlike any other time of the year. And I appreciate that. But we also need to be honest that Christmas has become so commercialized, hasn't it? It really has. And often our Christmases are more centered around ourselves and our friends and our families, as good as that is. But what about the wonderful child? What about Jesus Christ who came 2,000 years ago and lived for us and died for us and rose again? So again, I'm saying it helps for us to follow Mary's example, her pattern of starting the month with adequate time to reflect. And so in the light of the coming season and the uncertain times that we live in, here's in one sentence what we're trying to say. Knowing the chaotic days ahead have the potential to be both good or bad, it is important to slow down and to evaluate your actions to ensure that this special time is the best it possibly can be. Now, as I evaluate my life and as you evaluate your life, we admit that we've made some mistakes. And it would have been sad, wouldn't you agree, that if Mary would not have talked to Elizabeth, and maybe she might have talked to the wrong person, it would have ruined everything. And I'm glad she took the action she did. Aren't you glad? How commendable that she followed this process and was assigned and quietly began to evaluate her life and her future and cooperated with the Lord. Now, I do not know if there will be any tragedies this year in some of our families. I do not know if some of us will face some tough times this year because of our health or because of the economy. And that's why I'm asking us, in the light of the Word of God, the Bible, that we, as it were, figure out what is equivalent to Mary's trip to the hill country of Judah would be in our situation. Mary did, and she went and had, this was so important to her, and she set aside this assignment so that she could really ponder the importance of it. And I believe that she did such a mature thing for her age and for the person that she was, living up to God's expectations. And I pray that our Christmas, this new year, and this new officer's year, that we will follow Mary's example. Slow down and evaluate. And may this Christmas be the Christmas that you will have always longed for. Always long for. Let's sing together a beautiful hymn that we sang today, but it's Christmas. Oh, come, all ye faithful. Hymn number 132. 132. Let us stand together.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, or in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to Thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we acknowledge You again today as Savior and Lord of our lives. We thank You for this awesome story that reminds us that, like Mary, we need to slow down. We need to evaluate, and so that we can really remember You and to remember that it is Your Christmas that we are to remember. May we uplift You during this Christmas season. Though it is not the true Christmas that You were born, Lord, the true date, we thank You that other people around the world are thinking of You. May we take advantage of this, Lord, and uplift You, Jesus, and live for You, and not live like the world, but live like we believe that You did live and that You died for us and rose again, and You're coming soon. So, Lord, may this be an awesome Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.